Blog Talk Radio.
Go into a moment of praise and worship and just tell God, I believe. Go through. no matter how many demons you have to slay, tell God, I believe. God changes not. He's the same God that he was yesterday, and he'll be the same God tomorrow, and he's the same God right now. And the Bible says he changes not. Yes, people change, but the God that we serve, he said, I change not. So I want to encourage you this well, wherever you are, depending, this afternoon, this morning, this evening, hallelujah, we have listeners from all over. I just want to thank God, thank you for calling in. Tell the Lord, I believe. I believe. According to your faith, be it unto you. Glory to God. We bring you greetings and blessings of love, peace, and joy from Kingdom Builders Development Institute, truly where we are blessed to be a blessing. I am Pastor Teresa Dock, excited and delighted to be on the line with you today, to be on the air with you, just to encourage you to believe. Believe that Jesus died. Believe that he didn't stay dead. Believe in the power of the resurrection. Believe that there is a set place for you when you leave this earth realm. It's laid up. There's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for you. Amen. So we go through to get to. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to put a smile on your face. I just want to restore you to the place where God wants you to be. Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to do a word of prayer. But I want to encourage you. Amen. I want to encourage you to turn to 1 Peter 1 and 5. 1 Peter 1 and 5. Amen. We're going to come from 1 Peter verse 1 and chapter 1 verse 5. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for this time with you, and we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you will come into our presence. Forgive us, Lord God, for anything we may have said, thought, or even you said that you will forgive us for sin of omission and commission, Lord God. Father, we ask you to enlighten us with understanding so we'll know what you called us to do, so we will love and forgive and forget in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree it to be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to play just a segment of a song and give you time to get your Bibles, get your communion ready, because you know we at Kingdom Builders, we have communion every Sunday. We have intimacy with God. So get your juice, get your water, get your bread. We're going to convert it from natural use to spiritual use. I'm going to play a segment of the song as you prepare your communion.
Great.
Yes. Begin to tell the Lord that I believe and that you're bigger. Believe to tell the Lord that he's bigger. Don't you know that God's bigger than any problems? He's bigger than any situation. He's a God that can handle them all. So we're going to live with a kingdom lifestyle so that we can embrace that there's no good thing that he will withhold from us if we walk uprightly. Amen. Glory to God. God is bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. Amen. As my niece say, I'm getting bigger and better and stronger. God is bigger. Glory to God. Amen. I'm excited this morning, this afternoon, depending on where you are. Glory to God. Well, I ask you if you'd be so kind to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. And we have to prepare ourselves for what God is doing. So I hope you have your Bibles out, your communion is ready, and your spirit is hungry for what God is saying. Amen. We're going to be talking about praise to God for a living hope. Do you have hope today? Do you still expect God to do what he said he's going to do? Are you still expecting some things to come to pass, or have you lost hope? When you look around and you think about, or even when you see what's going on in this world today, you know, we live in a world that's desperately in need of God, desperately in need of some hope, some faith, a foundation, a deep-rooted foundation in Christ. If you just look around and think about all the things that's going on in this world, we need Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read. I believe Elder can read for us, if he would be so kind to read verse 3, 1 Peter. Chapter 1, and if he would start at verse 3 for us, amen, and read all the way down to verse 9, amen. I'm going to yield to the reading of the word.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm reading the NIV version Bible. Coming, that's where I'm coming from. Chapter 1, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perish even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Amen. That's the reading of the word.
Amen. Glory to God. The reading of the word is blessed because it is the word of God. Amen. Truly, the foundation of our hope is in Christ. It is in his word and the fulfillment of his word coming to pass. And as Elder was reading, I want to thank him for the reading of the word, and I want to bless him and encourage him in the Lord. First Peter, that it deals with how to find hope in our lives. You know, you can get to a point where you lose hope. You can get to a point where so many things have happened and things are going on, and you realize that you've lost hope. So you wake up, but you don't get up. Amen. You know to do, but you don't do. There's something that's going on. Is it because life has taken a toll on you? So you make a decision. You're going to get up and eat breakfast. You forgot to say your prayers. Okay, it may be safe to say you forgot to brush your teeth. Hallelujah. Why? Because you lost hope. Why? Because of circumstances. Why? Because of situations. We lost our foundation for hope in Christ. And as I was saying earlier, we live in a world need hope in Christ. When you look around, you think about the pandemic, you think about COVID-19, you think about epidemics, you think about vaccine, the news, crime, hurricanes, earthquakes. You think about the threat of terrorist attacks. You think about raising energy prices. You know, that's threatening our economy. And then you might even think about your own personal finance. And even to get deeper, you might begin to think about somebody gonna break in on you, crime. You remember so many pandemics have taken course. Remember when it was the bluebird flu pandemic? That was a pandemic. See, in this world, people tend to lose hope in all kinds of places. But we put our hope in things and people and situations that will eventually cause us to lose hope. Amen. Sometimes we put our hope in people. I mean, I know some hope is in the horoscope and even other cult practices. Some people hope is in the government, you know, in the police. Sometimes we have our hope in medicine. And I dare to say some of our hope is in that vaccine. How about the Powerball? Oh, yeah, you ride down the freeway and you see $339 million. Lord, if I could just hit that Powerball. Oh, yes, we don't realize that we're putting our hope in that Powerball jackpot. You know, two men, I was thinking about these two guys that went hunting and they got lost. Think their hope was in being found. We put our hope in relationships. Oh, yes, we put our hope in so many. I ask you this question. What is your hope built upon? You know, when you think about this first century, you think about when you wake up in the morning, do you still have hope? Yes, I hear you. I hear that you say, I got faith in God. No, I'm asking you about your hope. Let me tell you this quick story. It was a strong-willed, passionate fisherman, and he needed some hope in his life. And he was constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. He was acting before thinking. He was making promises that he couldn't keep. But Peter not only found hope in his own life, he became an apostle of hope. What did he do? He wrote a letter. And we still have today to have hope that our needs are going to be met. So in this next few weeks on our Wednesday teaching, I'm going to be taking a look at several parts of that letter that Peter wrote and to see if we can't learn how to find hope in our life. Amen. We're going to dissect it and we're going to resurrect hope. You know, sometimes we run to food emotionally. We eat when we're not hungry. You know, sometimes we run to things and people, thinking that it will fulfill that hunger and thirst. You know, sometimes we look at a relationship and we build all our hope on that relationship. But God is saying, I need that hope to be in me. I need the hope to be about me. God wants to set us on fire. So all of our hope will be built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Because relationships can end. People will fail you. Your bill's going to keep going. They're never going to end. You're going to hope maybe they'll stop coming. Maybe next month that bill won't come. Keep hoping. As Muhammad Ali said, keep hope alive. But I want to encourage you today to build your hope on Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to be looking at how to have hope. How to have hope when we're tempted. How to have hope for my home when life is unfair, when people fail you, when all hope seems to be lost. See, I want to define hope, wishful thinking. To be an anticipation of favor. See, we need to build, we need to tear down what's already built, and then we need to begin to build on a good foundation of our hope. So let me give you an illustration. Building a house. Glory to God. And Elder was reading in 1 Peter, and how to build a solid foundation. I'm going to go through the scriptures that he read, and then I'm going to give you some others. One way to build your hope is to begin to rejoice in God. So it started off, he said, praises be to God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you praise him? I hear you saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, and I love you. No, go deeper. Go deeper. Let the canvas of your soul touch the heart of Christ. Begin to give him accolades. Begin to love on him truly. Begin to forget about you and make it all about him. Tell him there's nothing else that matters. Listen what the next verse and the next B clause of that verse says. In his great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ from the dead. That means he's going to make what was dead alive again. See, Jesus was once dead. So what's dead in your life? Maybe you lost a loved one and you lost hope. Maybe you lost a job and you lost hope. Maybe you lost your bank account, dear Lord, and you lost hope. Maybe you lost a vehicle, a home, and you lost hope, and it was never restored. Let me say, what if Jesus or God our Father lost hope in you? You were never restored. I want you to think about it. See, Satan will take your hope away, and you're not expecting anything. You're not looking for anything. You're not asking God to do some things. Why? We're not building our hope on a solid foundation, because when we don't, everything else is sinking sand. Peter, he was talking to God's elect. Oh, yes, he was in this verse. He wasn't talking to the lay people. He was talking to leadership. You know, a lot of pastors and people that's in ministry are making crucial decisions in these days and times. Churches are closing up. I talk to so many pastors and leaders that they're losing members. People are losing hope. The world is not losing hope, because the world hope is in the world. You know, the world look at it, get greater later. You know, I went to a soccer game? Volleyball. I don't know why I want to make this volleyball soccer. But our granddaughter, she is playing volleyball. Actually, we have two that's playing volleyball. But we went to Kara's game, and I looked around, and the world have hope. You see no masses. They're all in each other's face. They get sick and go to the hospital and die of COVID, so be it. But they're not worried about it. And they plan going on just as everything is all the same. But God is sending a message to his elect who has been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. What is he saying? He asking for obedience. Listen, he said to the people, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his mercy, he have given us a new birth into living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, as Peter was describing that living hope, he's talking about this living hope that God has given to each one of us. He makes it so clear that the hope we have is entirely product. I want you to hear what I'm saying. That hope is a product of God's plan for our life. Who is his elect? We are his elect. So when things happen, we have to keep building the house. We have to keep building a good foundation. We cannot lose hope, because when we lose hope, guess what happens? Those that are assigned to us, we can't minister to them because we're hopeless. We're in that sad desolate place where Satan has attacked and we don't have hope because our hope has been in the wrong place. That's why I played that song, Believe. I believe. I believe that no matter what happened, that God is going to bring it back together again. It's almost like Humpty Dumpty. You know the story. He sat on the wall, and guess what happened? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king horses and all the king men, they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Why? Because their hope was in man. But who is your king? He made Humpty Dumpty. He made all the king horses. He made all the king men. And he could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Not only can he put them back together again, he can start him over and give him a new life. That's what the Bible says. Elder read it. Don't believe him. Believe the word. The word says that God's power has given us new life. New life. See, this is an inheritance, and it's kept in heaven. That's what the word says for you. See, we have work to do while we're here on earth. We're not just going to go to heaven anyhow. So we say we want to see daddy again. We want to see mama again. We want to see auntie them. Richard now, we want to see them again. But there is a job that God has called us to do. There are assignments that have our name on it. Amen. There are things that you are called to do. You may not even know it. Why? Because our hope is built on sinking sand. What do you mean, Pastor Teresa? Oh, how dare you tell me my hope is on sinking sand? If your hope is built on anything other than God's promises, then your hope is built on sinking sand. If your hope is built on your bank account or maybe having a bank account, if your hope is on your car, your house, your people, your relationships, all of that's going to fade away. But if it's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, you got a deep and a good foundation for your hope. Amen. See, God's mercy, the Bible says God's great mercy has given us new birth. So let's talk about this living hope. Living hope. So you have hope, but is it alive? You know, some people you look at and you be like, oh, Jesus. You just close your eyes. They make you sad. Okay. They don't make you sad because your hope is not in them. Your hope is in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, so let's get to Peter again. Peter was describing this living hope that God has given not just to me, but he has given it to you. He has given it to us. The Bible says each one of us. He make it clear that hope we have is God's plan for our life. We have chosen not to use God's living hope. Why? Because we say we have hope, but we don't live it out. We're chosen. Okay, you see, I'm not a minister. Listen what the Bible say. maybe you didn't know it, that we all are called to the ministry of reconciling man unto God. Did you know that? We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, yes, yes. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. And it refers to the work believers have been given to do and the message that we've been given to declare. Are you a believer? You say you're a believer. You can have a restored relationship, Christ. And what this verse says is, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he restored us through Christ. It's almost like, you know how you play tag? And when you find a person, you say, oh, tag, you it. Guess what? You're it. You have been chosen to reconcile man back to Christ. The ministry of reconciliation, it involves the proclamation of the gospel. Yes, it does. And it's an assurance that forgiveness of sin is available in Christ. See, some people don't understand that sin prevents us from having a relationship with God. But Jesus, perfect sacrifice on the cross, made atonement for our sin. Amen. And not only did it make atonement, it brought unity to mankind's relationship with Christ. You're it. You're next. So what Peter was trying to say is that living hope, it makes you understand that you are called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others to Christ. So we can't be mean and nasty. Who's going to follow that? You can get that in the world. Smile sometime. Let God's glory shine on you. Let his angels go before you. What you talking about, Pastor Teresa? See, Peter talked about it, that living hope. And then Paul, he described this principle kind of like in a similar way. Not Saul, I'm talking about Paul now. That we ought to always to thank God for our brothers and sisters. Because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sacrificing and sanctifying work of the Spirit. And it was through faith. See, it wasn't by accident Mama and Daddy said, come on, we're going to church. Come on, you're going to get in that choir. Come on, you're going to be an usher. Come on, you're going to Sunday school. Because they understood the foundation of Jesus Christ. So now we have younger people that's having younger people give them Jesus. You were given Christ, but our babies, they're not given Jesus Christ. They don't even know Bible stories. They don't even know. That's what I mean, reconciling man to Christ. Go to your children. If they have any unforgiveness, talk to them about it. Tell them you're going to miss heaven with that unforgiveness. Don't tell them they're going to hell. Tell them they're going to miss heaven. Tell them that they have a zeal of God and is not according to knowledge. Because Jesus said, I will not forgive you if you can't forgive others. And then he went deeper. Guess what he said? He said, I won't even hear you. And then he went deeper. He said, and I won't even ask your prayers. So that's like talk to the hand, because the head ain't home. You tell your children that we have to give our children Jesus. Bring correction to them, whether they like it or not. It's like that castor oil that mama used to give you, that daddy used to make you take. It didn't taste good, but they knew that it was good for you. That's reconciling man back to Christ. You ain't got to say a whole lot of words, because, you know, sometimes we say too much. Give them something deep. Very few words. Give them something to think about. Amen. 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 See, Paul was caught and he was knocked off that horse. Sometimes they have to be knocked off that horse. Zechariah had to come off that sycamore tree. Chaos, some people call it. Come down out that sycamore tree. You're too high up. Come on down. You have to be lowly. You're no better than no one else. Tell them that. Tell them that they are called to the ministry of reconciling. And that's what happened to Paul. Amen. Let me give you a couple more verses, and just so that we can understand, called to give people Jesus Christ. So in order for them to hear us, we have to start loving on them. We have to start forgiving them. We have to start living a life. You're going to miss it sometime, but you get back up, dust yourself off, and continue to smile. And don't make it a fake smile. Let it be a real smile. You know, when you're talking to a person, they lying, you know they lying. Love them anyway. Amen. Don't talk about them. Talk about the spirit of lies. Get a scripture. Next time you talk to them, give them that scripture. Hallelujah. Because it's not them. It's the spirit that's in them. Amen. That's reconciling man back to Christ. Don't go talk about them. Give them the word. That's loving on them. Amen. And then say, come on, let's pray. Then pray with them. Are they going to be shocked that you said, let's pray? Give them something to be shocked about. Give them something to look at. Give them something to talk about. Amen. They'll say, boy, that girl really didn't change. They'll say, boy, he really has changed. You tell them, I'm not like I used to be. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on. God got a word for all of his people. God got a word for you, and God got a word for me. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I'm so excited because I do understand that change is about me. I was going to say you, but change is about me. Me changing. Me changing the way I think. Me changing the way I talk. Me changing the way I walk. Me changing the way I live. Me changing the way I forgive. See, when Paul was knocked off that donkey, he was going to what? Persecute the Christians. He was dialing that number to talk about somebody. He was knocking on that door to ridicule somebody. Come on, somebody. So now when we pick up the phone and dial, we're calling to bless someone because we've been knocked off that horse. I truly trust God to bring change in our lives so that we can be made better having heard the word of faith. Glory to God, glory to God. It's not about being deep. It is about being changed. Do you hear me? As we begin to soak in the word, as we begin to soak in Christ, our life will change. Don't look at me. Look at the man in the mirror and let God's word soak in your heart, because that's what I'm doing. I'm letting his word soak in my spirit, because greater has come. Greater has come. And let me just get through this last scripture, and then we're going to do our Holy Communion. Second Thessalonians, and we're going to turn to chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Amen. And I'm going to read the NIV version. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Amen. I'm going to ask, matter of fact, I'll just ask Elder if he would be so kind to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Amen. Garrett, I'm going to yield and let him read that. And again, just know that our hope has to be in Christ, not in man, not in woman, not in sister, not in brother, not in God. Did you hear me? I want to make sure you're listening. Our hope has to be in Christ. We have to lean on him. We have to trust God. Amen. So when I said our hope not in God, I don't know if you caught it, but our hope has to be in Christ Jesus, in God, the Father. Okay, Elder, if you would be so kind to read.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 to 14, and coming from the NIV Version Bible. And it states, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as a first fruit, amen, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, I thank God that we've been chosen by the Father. We've been chosen. Have you been chosen? Have you been chosen to have a deep foundation? Chosen. And as far as the God is concerned, I was saved when he chose me in Christ. I was saved when he chose me from the foundation of the world. Amen. What did he do? We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. We was purchased by the Son. We was purchased. Were you purchased? I'm asking you a question. Were you purchased, or are you still, is your foundation in the world? Is your foundation in unforgiveness? Is your foundation in worrying? Is your foundation in having no hope? You know, in this pandemic time, you know, I heard a lady say, these pandemic babies, they different. And I wanted to tell her,
Not just the pandemic babies are different. We got some saints that's different. They saints, but they ain't. Because we have not made that foundational change. You got to make the change. And the change has to start inside. Amen. And what's on the inside, glory to God, it's going to come on the outside. See, people can look at you and see. When you open up your mouth, they can hear. What are you saying? I'm not stressing with you. I got living hope. See, when you got hope that's dead, that's one kind of hope. But when you have living hope is action. You see things happening, things coming together, no matter what it looks like. It's raining outside, but you're not afraid, because, and you don't have an umbrella, but you still go, because guess what? You have a deep foundation. It's in Christ and not in the world. What is your foundation built on? I asked you that question today. Is your foundation built on people, things, situations, circumstances? Or is your foundation built on Christ? Ask yourself, do you get let down when people don't do what you think they should do? When people don't do what you tell them to do? Now you're depressed, discombobulated. Why? Jesus purchased you by his son. And as far as the son is concerned, I was saved when he died for me on the cross. And guess what? I was set apart by the Spirit. Were you set apart by the Spirit of the living God? His Holy Spirit set us aloof, away from what Satan wanted and have us engrafted in his thinking and in his ways and in his unforgiveness. I was set apart by the Holy Spirit. How about you? So we can say that we have been chosen by the Father. We have been saved when he chose Christ before the foundation of the world. We've been purchased by the Son, and we've been saved when he died on the cross, and we've been set apart by the Spirit. And guess what? Don't dare mention the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is the living hope. The living hope. I want you to begin to focus on God's living hope. Stop being moved by situations. You know, get you some different friends. Get you someone that's going to encourage you, going to make you laugh and smile and be alive again. Because if you are around people that's draining you, then that's your decision. You got to get around people that's encouraging you, that's loving on you, that's building you up. And that's when we can recognize that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man back to God. You got a job to do. We got a job to do. We got a role to play. We got an assignment to complete. We have an assignment to complete. Our calling and election has to be made sure. Amen. Ooh, I can go further. And as we recognize just what God has done for us, when we consider his perfect plan in our life, where he not only have chosen us, but he also provided the means for us to have an intimate personal relationship with him. So how can we respond with anything but rejoicing? Sometimes we need to close our mouth and ask God to speak. Sometimes we need to smile without talking. Sometimes we need to pray without moving our lips. Sometimes we need to encourage people without saying, but with doing. Amen. So I want you to recognize with your great rejoicing, begin to sing in the morning when you get up. God has made a great change in me, a change that laid the first building block of a strong foundation of hope in my life. I don't want to look around at your face. Okay. You don't want to look around at their face and they're not giving you hope. Some people, you can look at them and your hope will die. Your foundation is in Jesus Christ. So get up and pray and sing in the morning. Start your day off and be rejuvenated in Christ. Don't worry about how things are not. Think about how things are going to go when you move forward in Christ. Begin to think about the love of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to rely on God's work. Rely on his plan. Rely on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Rely on that on his behalf. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it's through faith. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 8 tell us that we didn't earn it. And Romans 5 and 8 tell us we don't deserve it. So let this question arise in you. If God already did the finishing work, if he already built my foundation with living hope, where have my hope went? And it's pretty obvious that we live in a world full of people without hope. So I want to encourage you today. Hope is alive. Keep hope alive. God's word is where you find the proof of living things, not seen. It is in God's word. It's in God's word that we discover hope. It's God's plan that you live a life that hope is alive. Your personal relationship with him is not predicated on your relationship with man. You're not blind. You're not spiritually blind. Yeah, your eyes may not be able to see like they used to see, but spiritually, you're king. See, Peter used these two words to describe the word of God in our life. He said living. So is your living in vain? Is your knife dull? Sharpen it up so it can cut deep into the innermost parts of the thoughts of people. Don't worry about if they like you or not. Don't worry about if they care. Worry about them enduring the race and making it into glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, give God a praise. We have to begin to understand that there's an assignment for you. And guess what? The gift looked good on you. Nobody can wear that dress like you wear it. Nobody can wear them pants, that pantsuit like you wear it. The gift looked good on you. It's not you. But it's the Christ that in you cause you to grow. Hallelujah. Let us take this cup of blessing and let us acknowledge where we have fell short of the glory of God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you once again. And as he forgive you, forgive others. Amen. Begin to forgive those that have hurt you. Forgive those that didn't even know they hurt you. Pray for them. And this cup of blessing is the blood of Jesus. the bread that was broken, that's Christ's body. It was broken so we might live. Amen. So why aren't we living? God is probably sick of us. No, he said his grace is will endure to the end. We get sick of people. You go through the same old thing over and over again. But isn't it wonderful that God don't get sick of us? Amen. Father, we thank you for what you have done. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would put that living hope back in us. Father, that when we first began to know you, that zeal, that fire, that endure. God, that give us a new song, Father. Father, let us call someone that have hurt us and speak life over them. Father, for we were broken that you might live, but you made us whole. So, Father, I ask you as we consume the body of our Lord and Jesus Christ that you would convert it from natural use to spiritual use. You said as much as we do it in remembrance of you. We remember that you died. We remember that you didn't stay dead. Father, let us live again by keeping your commandments. Let us eat together the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says eat and eat all of it. That means eat the word, eat all of it. Drink and drink all of it. The refreshing blood of Jesus. You've been made new again. That's what Peter was talking about. You've been made new. Go in God's speed. Go in God's speed. And I want to say, remember that we are here every Sunday at 12:30. We're here on Wednesdays live at 5. We have other programs that's coming forth. We will be on YouTube Live starting next, the first Sunday in February. We will be having our Facebook Live moving forward. So we want to encourage you, if you like what we're doing, sow into the ministry. That will help us to grow in the things of the kingdom. You can go to www.giveify and look for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and you'll be able to sow into the ministry. You can go to PayPal, that's Kingdom Builders International at Gmail. And then you can give us a call. It's area code 313-583-9739. And one of our ministerial team will be happy to help you grow, and be what God called you to be. Amen, amen. And in closing, let this word be sealed in your heart that you might not sin against God. That gift looks good on you. God bless you. We say live today. Live today.
The gift that looks good on you.
You were born with a grace.
The gift that looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement. If you work your grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed to make you doubt what heaven says.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world
these systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed to make you sit down on your heels.
Don't you let
them. But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up. Looking good.
The gift it looks good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
The gift it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it
and
well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
God has graced you.